Why don't we, since I'm inspired here by Charles, I'm going to turn to our neighbor, say, hey, good looking. Hallelujah. Huh? Charles, you got to do a little more conviction, you know, a little more soul, right? Let's turn our Bibles to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Ecclesiastes 3 is known outside of the church circles as well, a very famous passage. So Ecclesiastes chapter 3, let's read. There is an appointed time for everything, and there is a time for every event under heaven, a time to give birth, a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to uproot what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to throw stones and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace and a time to shun embracing, a time to search and a time to give up as lost, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear apart and a time to sew together, a time to be silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. What profit is there to the worker from that in which he toils? I have seen the task which God has given the sons of man with which to occupy themselves, and he has made everything appropriate in his time. He has also set eternity in their heart, yet so that men will not find out the work which God has done from the beginning even to the end. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, God, and we thank you that you have set eternity in our hearts, God. Lord, that you have put something within each one of us, God, that longs for the eternal. God, something inside every single human being, God, that longs for you. And Lord, and we come and we ask you to set us on fire today, God. And let that yearning for you, God, be manifest, Lord, through every thought, God, through every deed, God, through every challenge that comes our way, God. Lord, we want to just experience you, Father. So we thank you, God. Watch over us. Lord, we ask right now in the name of Jesus that you release to us the revelatory ministry of the Spirit in this room. Lord, give us ears to hear and a heart to receive what the Spirit is saying to each one of us today. And we bless you. We thank you so much, Lord. And in Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen. 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 You know, what Ecclesiastes, what Solomon is talking about here, he's talking about life. And we talked a little bit about that last week. You know, and he's talking about the fullness of life and the joy of life. And in some ways, also, he gets to the end, he talks about the futility of life or the futility of living life without God or without the pursuit of God. You know, and so life, right, is basically what we experience. We're all, you know, even as I'm speaking now, we're all right in this room. We're experiencing life. We're experiencing something, you know, the easiest way I could say is the most fulfilling experiences of life are the ones that are wrought in God, because he's the creator of life. He's the author of life, right? He is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. You know, and when we begin to, in this journey of God, when we begin to experience God in our life, in our daily life, not just some mountaintop experience that we have once in a while, but every single day as we journey in this life and as we experience him, we change. You know, Solomon wrote here, and this is one of my favorite parts of the verse, and he says that he has set eternity in our hearts. Right? This is, you know, before that he says, there's a time for everything. Everything is appropriate in its time. God has set that time. And within that, in our hearts, every single one of us, he had put eternity there. You know, Pascal, you know, a lot of philosophers, theologians, you know, they all basically say the same kind of aspect, same thing. And he said that God has set, right, a heart-shaped vacuum in every single human being that only he can touch. Right? And there's something specific about that. There's even, you know, and not it's not just in terms of that he can touch, but there's a part of our heart that only another human being can touch. Right? That's why we're created for relationship with God, but also relationship with one another. Right? Remember, Adam was walking around in perfect harmony, perfect nature, right? And yet as he's walking around, God turns to him, it's not good for him to be alone. Right? There's something about that God even created some space within each one of us that can only be touched by another person. Right? And obviously, you know, we talk about, you know, a man and a woman and that kind of, but it goes beyond that. It's personal relationships that we have in family, among friends, you know, that there's places that God has put within us, right, that obviously that he can only touch, but other areas of our heart, our very being, right, that only other people can touch. And God just kind of stays away from that because he's made us for relationship with him and with each other. You know, and so, you know, what we're looking at, what we're talking about today, obviously the topic of my message today is experiencing God. You know, and that's what we want to do. You know, this is the culmination of our life experience, right, that we walk with Him and we learn of Him. You know, the most of the things that I learn and that I know by experience. You know, I remember the first time I ever preached, you know, and I was, first time I ever got asked to preach at a church. You know, I'm just gotten saved. You know, I came to Hong Kong, these guys know my testimony, and I end up, you know, hurting my knee, so I went back home. This is 1993, and so I was just basically going around sharing at churches. I actually, believe it or not, I had a really bad reputation. I know it's hard for you to believe, right? But I'm such a nice guy. But I was, you know, I just had this kind of notorious reputation in Southern California that, you know, I went to every sporting event alive possible, you know, and I got in a little trouble every sporting event I went to, you know, and so, you know, I had this kind of, and of course, a lot of them were at church tournaments, you know, and so, I'm like, that guy Sam, I can't believe he's here, right? He's, you know, I was a ringer, that's what you call it. So I go out to these things, and so I had this reputation that I would always end up getting in a fight somehow, you know, with either a player or the coach or the referee, it didn't matter who it was. And so when people found out I got saved, you know, there was kind of a little tremor that happened in Southern California, right? Not because of me, but some people were very curious to say. And so one of my friends invited me to speak at his church. And so I thought, man, I was just going to, like, this is easy, right? I just tell him what an idiot I was before, and then Jesus saved me, and now I'm okay, right? And so I went, I had no preparation whatsoever. You know, and I just had so much confidence in myself, you know. And so I went, and I went to this church. It was, I just remember the church, it was L.A., Los Angeles CRC, Christian Reformed Church. You know, and so I went out there, and, you know, it was a Friday night group, and I went there. And the whole way, like the hour drive to L.A., I just had this huge headache the whole time. And then when I get there, you know, I'm, you know, just trying to share, and I'm losing my train of thought like you wouldn't believe. You know, and I can't even remember the verses that I was going to share on because I didn't take any notes, right? Because I had so much confidence. You know, I don't need notes. You know, I'm just going to come up and, you know, I read Charles Finney's biography. He never used notes. I'm not going to use notes, you know? And so, you know, I went and it was just the most horrible evening. You know, it was so bad that after the service, people started comforting me, right? And, you know what I mean? Like, it's okay. You know, like, you know, I was supposed to comfort them, right, and stuff. So it was that kind of situation. And so the next time I got asked to speak in another church, right, and this time it was going to be totally different. I fasted the whole week. You know, I mean, I didn't eat. I just ate oranges. That's all I ate, right, and stuff. And I prayed. And I went to the meeting. And it was a long story short, but I actually got lost and miscommunication. I was an hour and a half late to the service. Can you believe that? You know, like if you, like, you know, from my point of view, and I see people coming late, probably about from right now on, I just think, what an idiot, right? I can't even make 2 o'clock service, right? And stuff. And so, can you imagine? Here's the speaker coming in hour and a half late, right? And so I walk in, and, you know, of course, there's like three guys in the parking lot trying to wait for me. And so I finally walk in, and now I'm prayed up. And so I go to this service. And, you know, now I got my notes, man, right? Meticulously written out everything. I learned my lesson. You know, and as I'm sharing, just the presence of God just comes. You know, I mean, my second sermon I ever gave. And God just started moving in the congregation. I finished speaking, you know, and, you know, I wasn't raised in the church, so I don't know exactly what to do afterwards. And I said, well, let's just pray. You know, and next thing you know, people, like, are falling to their knees. And, I mean, they're really praying. You know, and so, you know, I started going, and so I thought I'd just start praying for people. And, you know, as I'm praying for people, I mean, God's just doing all these amazing things. You know, and then, you know, while I was standing up there, I was just, you know, just talking to God, and all of a sudden God would give me this, like, special information. You know, I found out later it's called prophecy. I didn't know that. I thought he was just putting stuff in my head. You know, and I always just say, yeah, is there some lady in here, and you got some problem with this? And you know, that's basically how it started. You know, and so I just begin to share these things, and, you know, people just started coming up and said, that's me. You know, and I would pray for them, and they'd start crying even more. I'd be like, man, this is amazing. You know, something's going on. That night, actually, the pastor's wife came up to me towards the end of the service. You know, and she was just, I mean, her eyes were just big bulging because she was crying so much. And she walked up to me after the service, you know, or towards the end of the service and says, you know, I really want to thank you for coming. God really spoke to me today. And he told me that I'm watching too many Korean soap operas, you know. And she was so convicted, right? And I was like, man, the power of God. You know, for like a middle-aged Korean woman to give up Korean soap operas. You know what I mean? By the conviction of God. Whoa, that's anointing, man. You know what I mean? And stuff. And so, I mean, I was just blown away by this. And I learned through that experience. I learned that if I pray, if I seek God, God will come. And that's been, if anything, that's been the foundation of ministry that God has set me in. You know, that I sit, you know, I stay at home or whatever I do, and I just sit and I pray and I ask God to give me information. You know, I'm not talking about prophetic information, you know, nothing is as serious as that, but I just ask God, Lord, what do you want me to say to my church today? You know, and God just very gracefully, you know, just gives me info. And so that's these messages that come up out of these places. You know, and I learned that through experience. You know, I learned that I can trust God. You know, there have been times, and I shared this before, there have been times where I've been, you know, Saturday, you know, and usually how I prepare sermons, I'll give you a little insight, right, I just spend the whole week just talking to God about it, you know, and so if God is very gracious, he'll tell me Monday, you know, what I should share, and then it's easy week, man. I'm gonna be like, all right, so I just open up the Bible, putting stuff together is not that difficult. It's finding out, what do you want to say, God? That's the difficult part. You know, and so usually sometimes it's Thursday, Friday, Saturday night, Sunday morning, right? You know, but early on, you know, usually by about Friday, I knew what I wanted to say. You know, but there were some times where it didn't happen that way. You know, and I would go to sleep Saturday night having no idea what to share to my church. You know, and I remember lying in bed, and I didn't want to go to sleep, right? Because, you know, the stress and all these things. And, you know, I'm kind of a perfectionist in that way. You know, and then next thing you know, I'd go to sleep, and God would give me a dream. This happened many times. And I'd be dreaming that I was at church. And I'm at church, I'm preaching a message. You know, and I'm just, these things are coming out. And even I'm in the dream, and kind of like third person, I'm thinking, that's good. Dang, that's some good stuff, Pastor Sam, right? You know, and so this is honest truth, I would wake up and I'd get the, you know, nightstand, I'd write the stuff down and I'd go back to sleep. Wake up the next morning, I just take my notes and boom, right? And that was Sunday service. You know, and so I learned that God is faithful. Right? Through experience, I learned that God will give me everything I need to succeed, to speak to my congregation, right? To share God's thoughts in such a way, right, that hopefully it brings some kind of change and transformation. You know, and I hope that you've been blessed these 4 years that we've been here, you know, and the messages have been going out. That's God. You know, I learned through that time, I learned to not, you know, take credit for myself. I learned that it's all God. You know, that I can't, you know what I mean? If you go inside my head, you'll get a little bit more of what I'm talking about, right? It's all Jesus. It's all about him. You know, and I just play one tiny minute part in this, you know, and it's just the voice that comes out. That's all, but it's all God. But I learned that through experience, you know, and this is how we grow. You know, don't we get so frustrated in our Christian life, you know, that we know what we should do, but yet feel so powerless in doing it. You know, that sometimes is the most crippling thing as a believer. Like, you know exactly what you should do. You know exactly how you should live. You know exactly what God requires of you. But yet, in of ourselves, find it so difficult to do that very thing. You know, and sometimes it's a big thing, sometimes it's a little thing. You know, you're at work and, you know, your colleague is stabbing you behind the back and, you know, and doing all these things. And you know God says, love him. You know, but inside, oh, Lord, you know, do you know who this person is? Do you know what he's doing? You know, and we find it so difficult for us to love. But you know that's what God's asking us to. You know that that's the only thing that will set us free if we actually love, if we actually forgive. But it's so difficult. You know what I mean? And I go through this every single day. I mean, no one's stabbing me in the back, but I drive in Hong Kong, right? You know, I'm telling you, man, there's the worst drivers in the history that live in Hong Kong and stuff. And so sometimes, you know, I'm driving and this guy's cutting me off. Or the worst thing is I'm trying to get into a lane and I'm going to hit the wall if they don't let me in the lane. And they just, you know, all of a sudden this Mercedes Benz, you know, just speeds up really fast, just so, you know, that little inch of space. See, there's nothing that, you know, I'm quite bitter still, you can tell, right? You know, and you know, I sit there and I know what Jesus is asking me to do. Sam, let go. Let go. Take it easy. You know, but inside I'm harboring bitterness, you know. I'm praying that person will be hit by lightning or something, you know. And, you know what I mean? That's just my sinful nature. I'm just telling you. You think I'm kidding. I'm actually quite serious, you know. And so, you know, and this is the kind of like stuff that I know what to do, but so powerless to do it. You know, we know what we believe, but yet so powerless to live it. You know, see, that's where experience comes in. Everything I learned because of experience. You know, I can now pray for the sick. I can pray for people that are ill. You know, and I may not, you know, have confidence in myself or think that I have such great faith. That doesn't matter. It really depends on God. Right? Because God used people that had faith. God used people that didn't have faith. God used the faith of the person that was being prayed for. God used the faith of the person praying for. Right? And sometimes there was no faith involved at all. And God just, by his mercy, chose to heal that person. And so I understand these things. But I've experienced healing in my life. And so I pray for others. And there's a confidence there. You know, I remember sitting in church, this at the Anaheim Vineyard, you know, when I first got saved. I remember sitting in the back, and I had just come back from a retreat, you know, from camp. And so I didn't wear shoes the whole time. And so my feet are really dry, right? And so I had these huge cracks in the back of my heel. Some of you guys know what that feels like, right? The skin just splits. I mean, it was just huge. And I couldn't even walk, so I was walking on my tiptoes. You know, and stuff. And I was sitting in church, and all of a sudden, the pastor, Pastor John Wimber, you know, he turns over, and I'm sitting kind of, I mean, it's a, you know, 4,000, 3,000 square foot auditorium or seat auditorium, and I'm sitting way in the back. There's no way he could see me, you know. And all of a sudden, he's there, and he says, you know, there's someone here, and you've got these cuts on your feet right now, and the Lord's going to heal you right now. You know, I'm sitting there going, wow, because you know, I mean, I heard people say some guy has a headache. Right? Like, well, big deal, right? In a room, 3,000 people there, at least 10 people have headaches there, right? But this guy to say, I messed up the part, he said, there's two cuts in your heel. I mean, he was specific. And I remember sitting there, and I said, God, is that me? You know, and as soon as I said that, I felt this burning sensation in my heel. It's just like something was just like someone just lit it on fire, but it was not like a painful burning. I just felt this heat. You know, and next thing you know, I'm like rubbing my heel, you know, and it doesn't hurt anymore. I mean, it's still there, right? The cut's still there, but the pain is completely gone. How? I experience God. I experience God's healing. And so I can pray for other people with that confidence. You know, and I pray for other people and they've been healed. You know, and what is that? It's experiencing God. It's supernatural. You know, and what I want to suggest to you guys today is that maybe we don't give God enough opportunity for us to experience Him. You know, that we don't create enough space around us, right, that allows God, that gives, in essence, gives God permission to come and impact our life. You know, that's what we're talking about here today. You know, believe in that God is my provider. You know, I've had this happen so many times, you know, where I was challenged, you know, sometimes, you know, very greatly challenged, but challenged to give, you know, challenged to offer up to the Lord, you know, and my initial, I didn't want to do it. You know, I mean, I really didn't want to do it. I thought, Lord, that's too much money. I don't have that much money. You know, why would you ask me to give something I don't even have? You know, and the Lord says, well, you're getting paid next week. Well, okay, then, you know, that could be a possibility and stuff. And so, but when I gave and gave freely, God gave back bountifully. You know, and so I know that Jesus is my provider. You know, that's why, you know, I just don't worry about money. I mean, if you don't, you can ask my wife. You know, I just don't worry about finances. You know, I don't worry, you know, if I'm going to eat. I'm not worry if the rent's not getting paid. I just don't worry about these things because I know the Lord is my provider. You know, I know that He's the one that provides for me. It's not the church. It's not some company. It's Him. And I put my trust in Him totally. You know, I mean, you know, I could leave this position, you know, the next day. No fret. Right? Because I know that He's my provider. How did that happen? It happens through experience. You experience God, and when that happens, He burns something in us. Right? Something that's created in us, and it's this experience that begins to burn within us, and we just start growing. Right? All of a sudden, the knowing, which was very cognitive, becomes a knowing that becomes very real. Right? The knowing that is experiential. Right? That's what we're talking about today. You know, everything I believe as a result of experiencing God. I'm talking about in God. Now, of course, I believe in God's word. Right? I believe everything that's spoken in this Bible. Right? And I just believe that. I may not be able to understand it fully, but this is just what I believe. You know, I'm not just some idiot that, you know, just believes whatever on a whim. No, I've studied it, I've analyzed it, and I said, in that, right? And even the stuff that I don't realize and understand, Lord, I believe. You know, but see, if you're like me, and I probably reckon that you are, I need a little more help than just believing in the Bible. I need to experience God. You know, there's all these postulates and verses and all these theorems and all these things, but I need a little something more. You know, I just don't have that much faith. I mean, I'm just really honest, right? You know, I just don't believe like I should believe. But what I do know is that, God, if I experience you, then I know that I know. Right, that I know that I know that I know, right? And like I said, right, I just need some help. I'm weak, you know, and I probably reckon that most of you are weak as well here. If you weren't, you probably wouldn't be here, right? You'd probably be doing something else today, you know. And I also know that God wanted to lay a strong foundation in my life to the challenges and things that were going to be in front of me as I go on. You know, the Scriptures is full of men and women that experienced God. That's what this Bible is full of. You know, it's not about, you know, some dude that went to church, you know, all their life and that was it, right? There's no stories like that in here. It's stories about these men and women that just trusted God, you know, and that took steps of faith, you know, but even before those steps, God came and He made Himself known to them and they changed. They changed. Let's just look up a few. Turn to Daniel. We'll just do a couple here. Daniel chapter 10. This will resonate with some of you from the retreat. Here's Daniel chapter 10. And just a little background, so we don't have to read the whole thing. But Daniel gets this vision, and he's terrified by this vision. And so he decides to fast, right? This is what we call a Daniel fast. Right, so he didn't have any tasty food, no meat, and you know, and so he decided to really to seek the Lord. And then this is verse 7. God comes to Daniel. This is verse 7. Now I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, while the men who were with me did not see the vision. Nevertheless, a great dread fell on them, and they ran away to hide themselves. So I was left alone and saw this great vision, yet no strength was left in me, for my natural color turned to a deathly pallor, and I retained no strength. But I heard the sound of his words, and as soon as I heard the sound of his words, I fell into a deep sleep on my face, with my face to the ground. Then behold, a hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. And he said to me, O Daniel, man of high esteem, understand the words that I am about to tell you and stand upright, for I have now been sent to you. And when he had spoken this word to me, I stood up trembling. And then he said to me, do not be afraid, Daniel, for on the first day that you set your heart on understanding this and on humbling yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to your words. You know, and then it continues to tell him exactly what's going on. Man, Daniel was impacted because he experienced God. He humbled himself, he fasted, he prayed, he wanted to know. He wanted to understand this vision. And if you see this, you know, they said there was a group of people there, but only Daniel saw the vision. Isn't that amazing that there could be a group of people, the same thing going on, the same event unfolding, and some people just get scared of their life, and others get to experience God. Isn't that amazing? You know, and so the character here is supposed to be Gabriel, the angel Gabriel. And it comes and look what Daniel, what happens to Daniel. He falls on the ground on his face. He hears the voice and he starts to tremble, right? He just starts to shake, right, under the hand of the Lord. You know, and then the words of the Lord came. And can you imagine you're sitting there, and for 21 days, right, or every part of time, you're asking God for an answer. Well, some of you guys can relate, because some of you guys have been waiting years for some answers. Well, we know what those answers are, but you're still waiting, right? You know, and can you imagine that, right? And he just set his heart, and all of a sudden, the angel of the Lord comes, right? The presence of God comes to Daniel, right? And so much so that his body starts to tremble. You know what I mean? That he actually, in simple phrase, he actually faints. And he falls to the ground on his face. And when he hears the words of the Lord, he just starts to shake. You know, I remember, you know, one of the first times that ever happened to me. You know, I was at this church, and it was during the season of the church, and God was just doing some wonderful things all over the world. You know, and I happened to be at this service, and, you know, a lot of kind of weird things were happening at our church, and so I wanted to find out more about it. And so I went to this place, and they were quite well known, you know, a very large charismatic church, and they're quite well known for, you know, for revival and these things. So I remember sitting there, and I went, and I remember, you know, just listening to the pastor, and it was during the day, it was just for pastors, and so I went to go hear what this guy had to say. You know, and I was listening, and I thought, wow, this is a really good message, you know, and I kind of understood a little bit more. And then he, at the end of that message, he asked, how much you guys would like to, in essence, how would you like God to come upon you and for you to experience God? You know, and I was sort of sitting in my seat, and I don't know if I wanted to, you know, because when a lot of people were when that happened, they start shaking, and all these crazy stuff would happen. I'd be like, I don't know if I want to do that, you know. I mean, I want to experience God, but I want to experience God on my own terms. You know, I'll just do this, you know. God, if you just come, let me just stand upright, you know, like just like in a majestic oak tree, you know, and let me just stand there and just, you know, just let me just look like I'm being blessed, you know, like the falling down stuff. I'm not into that kind of stuff, you know. And so, but I remember I was, you know, after the guy, I started getting so hungry for God, you know what I mean? And when you start getting hungry for God, you'll do anything, you know. And so I said, okay, I'll stand up. And I just stood up. I said, God, okay, if you want to touch me, just touch me. I remember just lifting my hands up, and I said, okay, God, here I am, you know. And all of a sudden, my right leg started to shake. You know, it was just like this kind of crazy, and I'm like, you know, what's going on here, you know? And I remember saying to God very specifically, God, don't do that, you know? Why are you guys laughing? I'm being very serious, right? I said, God, don't do that, you know? People are watching me. You know, I don't want people to think I'm like I'm weird, you know, like Jesus freak, you know, holy roller, you know, all these things. And so, you know, my leg is shaking. I said, God, don't do that. You know, come on. You know, let me have some dignity here and stuff. And then my legs started, you know, once I started, you know, complaining, right? All of a sudden my legs started shaking more. And now it's both legs. And now it's violently, I'm like, you know, moving like this. And then I said, God, why is this happening? And I remember the voice, it was so clear to me. And I just remember so specifically, he said, Sam, do you remember when you said that you would go anywhere for me? You know, and I was sitting here, I'm shaking, and I'm saying, yes, God, I remember. I said, God, I told you I would go anywhere in the world if you sent me. You know, and I'm shaking, and the words of the Lord, God just said, Sam, this is why I'm doing it. This is my covenant reminder that you're going to go anywhere for me. You know, and then I'm like, okay, God, right, I just cry, and then I swear, it's as if I put my finger in some electric socket, you know, and I was out, man. You know, I don't know, I don't know what happened to me after that, but next thing you know, I was on the ground, you know, and I could just feel this, like three people came up and started praying for me, you know, and I woke up maybe like 45 minutes later, but when I got up, I was changed. Something happened to me. I don't know what happened, but in that 45 minutes, something happened, you know. And so that was Friday afternoon. Friday night, I went to church, right? And this was on as a youth pastor, you know. And I just felt something on me, and I went to the church and I said, "This is what we're gonna do." And I probably preached like a 10-minute message, you know. That was a long time ago. That doesn't happen that often, right? 10-minute message, and I came and I preached, and then we just had ministry time, and God just came. Right, there's about 60 kids. God just came on these kids. It was one of the most powerful meetings we ever had. Why? Because I experienced God. Right? Because God, you know, in time and space came and touched me. Just like Daniel. Can you imagine Daniel's praying all these days, right? And hearing nothing from God, getting no encouragement from the Lord, nothing. And all of a sudden God comes. You know what happens to the rest of Daniel's life? He becomes even more faithful. Right? And there's stories that Daniel begins to pray the purposes of God so strong because God knows, or Daniel knows that when he prays, God listens. Right? So the angel said, from the moment that you started praying about this, God heard. How many of you guys would like to have that kind of confidence? You know, many of us, we're kind of schizophrenic, you know. We pray and we're faithful to do that, but yet in the back of our minds, we're like, God, do you really hear what I'm saying? You know, like, do you really understand my prayer? You know, do you really know how important this is to me, God? You know, and so we're praying because we know we should, right? There's a faith aspect. And so we're praying and praying, but yet the other side are like, God, are you there? You know, come on, let's be real, huh? God, are you there? Are you listening to me? Do you know what's going on with me? Do you know that if you don't answer this prayer that I'm going to die? You know, do you know that I'm going to leave the church if you don't answer this thing? Don't you know that, God? And God comes. God comes. You know, can you imagine the confidence of Daniel, right? Can you imagine the prayer life that Daniel has? Why? Because he experienced God. Because God came, right? He asked and God came. Right, in the midst of a circumstance, in the midst of whatever happened, you know, and Daniel, he just fell down on the ground. That's all he did. He shook and he trembled for a while, but God burned something within him. I mean, that's all that happened to me, right? I just shook for a little while. I fell down and that was it. But something happened. Now, I don't want you to focus on the manifestation. That's nothing. Focus on the God that's creating the manifestation, right? And so, and this is what we're talking about, right? You experience God. You know, I could go on and on and on again, but let me just get to the point here. Turn to Elijah. Turn to 1 Kings chapter 18. You know, Saul experienced God as he fell off the horse and met with the Lord. Jacob experienced God and, you know, wrestling with him. But this is what I want to focus on today and kind of lead us into a time of prayer. 1 Kings chapter 18. In this picture, Israel is caught up under a very, very bad king. His name was Ahab. And Ahab, he was bad, right? His wife was Jezebel, right? Have you met anyone named Jezebel in your whole life? Just not going to happen, right? Because it's a bad name, you know? If you tell me, Pastor Sam, I want to name my daughter Jezebel, I might slap you, right? That's just a bad name. You don't want to do that, right? And stuff, So here's this picture, right? And so Jezebel is this really evil woman, and Ahab was an evil dude himself. And so God basically gets very tired of this whole ordeal that's happening here. And so God sends Elijah out of nowhere, and he challenges. And so Israel is in complete idolatry. They're worshiping the Baal and the Asherah. And, you know, then even Ahab has surrounded himself with all these, you know, basically demonic prophets. And so now it comes a challenge. So God, you know, through the prophet Obadiah, he comes and he says, okay, tell all these guys, right, these basically what is about 400 prophets of the Asherah, 450 prophets of Baal. And these are, when it says they ate at Jezebel's table, this means that they were paid for, right? That, you know, that she actually paid for these guys, and they were like salaried, you know, priests. You know, under, can you imagine the house of Israel, you know, having, 950 priests that worship other idols? I mean, this is a travesty. And so God finally gets tired of this, and he says, this is what we're going to do. You know, and he goes and he says, Elijah, I want you to grab all these people, right? Grab all the prophets, grab all the people, and we're going to meet over in Mount Carmel. You know, and so this whole thing is happening. So let's go to 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 20, okay? We'll read a little bit. And so Ahab sent a message among all the sons of Israel and brought the prophets together at Mount Carmel. And Elijah came near to all the people and said, how long will you hesitate between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him. But the people did not answer him a word. Then Elijah said to the people, I alone am left a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Now let them give us two oxen, and let them choose one ox for themselves, and cut it up and place it on the wood, but put no fire under it, and I will prepare the other ox and lay it on the wood, and I will not put a fire under it. Then you will call on the name of your God, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God who answers by fire, he is God. And all the people answered and said, that is a good idea. So Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, choose one ox for yourselves and prepare it first, for you are many, and call on the name of your God, but put no fire under it. Then they took the ox which was given them, and they prepared it and called on the name of Baal, and mourning until noon, saying, O Baal, answer us. But there was no voice, and no one answered. Then they leaped about the altar which they made. And it came about at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, call out with a loud voice, for he is a god. Either he is occupied or gone aside, or he's on a journey, or perhaps he is asleep and needs to be awakened. Right? Elijah was kind of a funny guy, huh? Right? You know, in 28, and they cried out with a loud voice and cut themselves according to the custom and swords and lances until the blood gushed out on them. And it came about when midday was past, they raved until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice. But there was no voice, no one answered, and no one paid attention. Then Elijah said to all the people, come near to me. So all the people came near to him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord, which had been torn down. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord had come, saying, Israel shall be your name. And so with stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and made a trench around the altar, large enough to hold 2 measures of seed. Then he arranged the wood and cut the ox in pieces, laid on the wood, and he filled 4 pitchers with water and poured on the burnt offering on the wood. Then he said, do it a second time, and did it a second time. Then he said, do it a third time, and did it a third time. And the water flowed around the altar, and he also filled the trench with water. Then it came about at the time of the offering in the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, O Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, today let it be known that thou art God in Israel, that I am thy servant, and I have done all these things at thy word. Answer me, O Lord, answer me, that this people may know that thou, O Lord, art God, that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt offering, and the wood and the stones and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and they said, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. What a great story, right? You know what these people needed? They didn't need people, some prophet to say, don't do that. Right? They didn't need someone to come and say, you know, you shouldn't be offering those idols, right? You shouldn't be having these idols. You know, they didn't need, you know, someone to lecture them about how to live their life. You know, they didn't need someone to come and tell them, you know, you're sinning. You know, this is wrong. You shouldn't be doing this thing. They didn't need all those things. What they needed was an encounter with God, right? They needed God to show up, right? They, in their own way, they needed to be convinced. Here Elijah is, and he says, look, we're going to call down fire, we're going to do these things. And when he suggests at first, they made no answer, right? Because he says, look, you guys choose today. If God is God, follow God. If Baal is God, follow Baal. And notice this, no one answered a word. In other words, these people needed to be convinced that God was God. You know, we need to be convinced that God is God. We need to be convinced that God is our provider, he's our healer, he's the lover of our souls. We need to be convinced. You know, sometimes it's not enough for me to rail, you know, hour upon hour and tell you, God loves you, God loves you, God loves you. Unless you experience that in your own life, some of these words will not take the effect that it should. You know, we need to be convinced. These guys need to be convinced. You know, and so he says, follow, and they're like, nah, they don't answer anything. And so he says, okay, God's going to convince you. This is what we're going to do. We're going to take 2 ox, right? You guys get one, I'll take one. There's a bunch of you, so I'll let you guys go first, right? So gracious of Elijah, right? You guys go ahead and you know, knock yourself out and do your thing. I'm just going to wait a little bit, right? I'll mock you later on, but I'm just going to, you know, take care of this. And, you know, and so they continue on and they cut the thing up and, you know, all these things happening and Elijah starts mocking him and, you know, and all this. And then it's Elijah's turn to come up. And notice the word he says here. Verse 30. See, this is what the people needed. Then Elijah said to all the people, look what he says. And he said, come near to me. Right? That's what these guys needed. They just needed to come near. Right? That's really what they wanted all along. You know, I mean, they were following, you know, the Baal and the Asherah because they thought that's where the power came from. You know, and God needed to totally reorient their mind. And so he says, and he comes and says, come near. Come near. You want to experience God? Those are the first steps you need to take. You just need to come near. Right? I don't care how far you are. You know, when it comes to God and distance, you know, God is one prayer away. One prayer away. You know, it doesn't matter how far you are, how far you think you are from God. He is one prayer away. You know, if you came to the Lord today, right? And maybe you did something really stupid last night or, you know, last week or whatever the case may be, you know? And you came to the Lord today and you said, Lord, I want to draw near to you. You know what? You'll be right in God's face. You'll be right in God's face. Right? It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter how far you've fallen. It doesn't matter, you know, the distance that you think you are from God. He is one prayer away. That if you would choose to humble yourself and say, God, I'm sorry, I just want you. Right? You'd be face to face with God. You would. You'd be face to face with God. Right? You know, Jesus came and he said, I didn't come for the healthy, man. I came for the ones that were sick. He said, I'm the great physician. You know, that's what the ministry of Jesus is all about. You know, and if you feel like you're far away, I'm here to encourage you today. He is one prayer away. It doesn't matter if this is the first time you've been in church in 10 years. Those are just minor details to God, right? Just minor details. What matters to him is that you're here, right? I mean, that's his plan all along. And that you're listening to this message. And if you would say, God, I just want you. And you would just draw near. Man, you'd be in his face, right? Face to face. Be the most amazing thing. And so this is what he does. He gathered these people and he says, draw near. So all these guys come near. They draw near. And then what he does, he repairs the altar. See, the altar was always a place of experience, right? Whenever someone in the Bible really experienced God, they built an altar to the Lord. And this is where they would sacrifice. This is where they would offer. But it was a living testimony, right? A living, you know, piece of real estate there that said, God, this is you. You know, Jacob wrestles, you know, and he builds an altar there, right? You know, and he gives it a name. You know, these guys, you know, win this war and they build an altar, right? And this was just testimony of God's faithfulness. And so Elijah comes and what does he do? He repairs the altar. You know, this happens in our life a lot. You know how this happens? You know, all of a sudden you're drawing, you know, you hear the voice of the Lord and you draw near. And all of a sudden you hear the voice of the Spirit. And say, you know, I protected you last year when you were in that car accident. You may not have seen me, but I was there, right? You know, I was faithful in your family. You know, I blessed your mom or your dad, and so that you can grow up in a Christian home. And you know, and it's this years of faithfulness. You know, that sometimes we're so unaware of, or a lot of times the enemy has just blinded us that we don't see. That's how can we walk in selfishness and jealousy and all these things, because we forget what God has done for us. You know what I mean? We forget that he was so faithful to us, and so we're like, God, you know, you haven't done anything lately for me. You know, and so we move aside in these emotions. But he comes and he prepares the altar. He says, man, remember when you were 5 years old and I just protected you? You know, and when you were 15 and you know, that first job that you had and that thing happened, but I covered you. And God comes and repairs the altar, right? He begins to speak to us about his faithfulness. You know, and we begin to see how faithful he's been. It's the most amazing thing. You know, I remember a long time ago, my pastor at the time, this is, you know, when I first got saved, and we had this inner healing conference at church, and Dr. Kraft from Fuller came to speak at this conference, and it was pretty cool, and it was my first time ever experiencing anything like this, and Charles, you know, he was teaching, and he said, you know, God has protected you guys even more than you'll ever know. You know, and then he got this bright idea, says, because maybe he could see the expressions on people's faces. We're like, huh? You protected us? And I had that expression. You know, and he says, you want to see? We're like, okay. And he says, close your eyes. You know, and everyone closed their eyes. There's about 40 people in the room. Everyone closed their eyes. And he just said, Jesus, reveal yourself to these people. Lord, let them show yourself of when they were, you know, went through situations and, you know. And then the craziest thing, you know, I just get this kind of this vision of when I was young, and it's when I was riding my I was riding a bicycle, and I was kind of a crazy bicycle riding kid, and I used to just zip everywhere. And one time, this is when I was living in Chicago, and I was riding my bicycle, and I was riding, you know, it's like in the street, and there was an alley, and I didn't see this car came out, and I hit the car, the door of the car, and I flipped over. You know, and just like, you know, my bike was trash, and I flipped over and landed on my back, but I just got straight up, you know, and I just picked up my bike and I just left, you know? And God showed me that picture You know, but in that, and when he said, okay, reveal yourself, I saw the hand of God as I was careening through the air, just kind of like, I thought, oh, that's cool, man. The crazy thing is my pastor was really young. Some of you guys know, may know Pastor Ryan Chang. He was really young, and he was actually, I don't know what he was doing, but he actually got hit by a car in his head. You know, and so there was this, like in Korea or something, I don't know where he was, and this car actually hit him in the head. You know, there was something happened, and this I mean, just straight on collision. You know, and so he actually had a concussion, you know, but he woke up right away, and he was totally normal. Well, some people say he's not so normal, but, you know, he kind of grew up normal, right? He'll never hear this, so it's okay. You know, and so it's the most amazing thing. And then he said, reveal yourself. And you know what he saw? You know, he said, so, and my pat, he never cries. He's one of the, he never cries. And next thing you know, when Charles Craft said, Lord, reveal yourself, and he said that he saw this hand right where his head was, and his hand came, and right when the impact happened, it was like, because he could see the scar of Christ in his hand, and it protected his head. You know, and when that he saw that, right, spiritually, man, he just lost it. He just started crying, and it was so moving for him, you know. But he was there, you know. And I bet you, if you would take some time and reflect upon your life, you'll see that God was there. And so that's what he was doing to these guys. He was just picking up altar. Yeah, I was there when you were little. I took care of you in this, and I protected you there, you know. And it's these experiences that we forgot. You know what I mean? We forgot. You know, this is how we get into bitterness, because we forget how good God was to us. You know what I mean? We forget how good God was to every single one of us, how good God is. You know, we forget that he saved us. A lot of times we forget that we, you know, of where we've come from. You know, for me personally, you know, New Year's, you know, a lot of times it's the same message I get from God all the time. It's not, you know, it's a New Year's like, oh, the future. Oh, yeah, what are we going to do in the future and stuff. Every time when it comes to New Year's, God tells me, remember. Remember, you know, and I want to look to the future, and I want to make my resolution. You know, I'm going to work out, and you know, I'm going to read the Bible, you know, and all those things that we break, you know, within the first 3 weeks, right? You know, and I'm so pumped up about this, but every time God speaks to my heart of hearts, he said, Sam, remember where you came from, right? Remember where you were like before you met me, you know, remember, you know, and then the sense of humility comes. I remember. Forgive me for going ahead of myself, and forgive me for moving ahead of you. God, I remember. You know, something I've shared so many times, right? You know that song, you know, when I was lost and alone in the darkness, you found me, right? Man, that's the story of my life. You know what I mean? That's the story of my life. You know, and the title of the song is Thank You, Lord. You know, that's what the writer's talking about. Lord, when I was lost and alone in the darkness, God, you found me. That's why I could be in this place. That's what he does. He builds the altar, right? So he says, come on, church, draw near to me. Just get a little, that's all you need to do is just get a little bit closer. And then he fixes the stuff that's broken in our lives, right? He fixes stuff that's been mangled, right? It's the stone of disappointment. He picks back up and he places there, right, under his faithfulness. You know, the stone of rejection that we may have felt. And he comes and he places there, right, on that place of approval. You know, whatever happens in our life, and he comes and he fixes and repairs. You know, and then here's the prayer that Elijah prays. This is the prayer. And he says here, as he arranges the word, and he gets all these things together. And in verse 36, O Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, today let it be known. And see, what he's calling upon God's faithfulness from Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, being Jacob, obviously. And he's basically saying the same thing. Remember. Remember God's faithfulness. Remember he took Abraham. Remember he took Isaac. Remember that Isaac didn't have a child, you know, or Abraham didn't have a child, and God blessed him with Isaac. You know, and then the kingdoms were born out of that. You know, and he's basically telling Israel, remember that you have experienced God already, that it's already there. And then he says, today, right, let it be known that you are the Lord. And in verse 37, answer me, O Lord, answer me. This people may know that you, O Lord, are God, and that you have turned their heart back again. See, the only person that can turn your heart back again is the Lord. The only person that can cause us to draw near is the Lord. But that's what he does, right? That's his business. You know, what these people needed, they needed an encounter with God. They needed to meet with God face to face, right? It wasn't going to be, you know, I mean, obviously the verses are powerful and all these things, but it was going to take a supernatural interaction. And they got it. And they got saved that day. And Israel got changed that day. You know, something supernatural happened, right? They needed the presence of God. You know what you need? You don't need a better job. You don't. You don't need a bigger apartment. You don't. Right? You don't need more money in your bank account, right? Even though that would help sometimes, right? But what you need the presence of God. You need to encounter the Lord. You cannot do what God has called you to do. You cannot be who God has called you to be unless you encounter him. You know, and listen, let me speak into your soul today, to your heart of hearts. It's not that difficult. It's not that difficult. God wants to meet with you. God wants to touch you. God wants to heal you. Right? That's God's desire all along. Right? He came, right, that you may have life and life abundantly. Right? That's why the sole reason why he came. Right? He comes to restore us. And he came to turn your heart back to him. Amen? Let's close our eyes. Jesus Christ wants to encounter you today. He is not so concerned with your past. What he's interested in is your present and your future. Simply said, God wants to touch you. God wants to heal you. God simply wants to love you. There's some of us here and we are wrapped in aloneness. You think you're alone. You think no one understands you. I'll tell you, God is here. He knows, he understands, and he wants to bless. He loves you so much. But for some of us, that just something that just tickles our ears. God wants to make himself known to you today. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Let him put inside of you a desire for him. Let him set your heart on fire. Let him set your heart back to him again. Let a hunger for him begin to be birthed inside of you. Let the voice of the Lord speak into your heart of hearts as you hear Jesus say, "Come near to me. Come near to me." Thank you, Jesus. So he's starting to minister to some of you right now already. Thank you, Lord. More of your presence. More of your presence. Today, some of you are going to come face to face with the presence of God. It's going to be glorious. That's eternity in our heart. See, this journey was never meant to be done alone. Never meant to be done alone. We need people's help. Right? We're created for relationship. In a simple way, if you would like to draw near today, you don't know what that means, you don't know what the manifestation of that is, but you just know, Pastor Sam, I just need to draw near today. All I'm going to ask you to do very simply today is just to stand where you're at. This is just a sign. This is, I'm going to draw near today. Stand where you're at. Right, you're not going to have to move anywhere. Stand, just open your hands up to the Lord. It's like a child. You're just going to receive from Him. A broken and contrite heart He will not despise. Right. You start receiving. Lord, touch your friends. Touch your friends right now. Love your people right now. Come, Holy Spirit. Yes, Lord. Lord, this is not about how well we can meditate, how well we can pray. No, God, it's just about your children hungry for you. So come. See, the Lord is moving on many of you right now. Just give yourself to Him. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Now, because we're a family, if you are sitting down right now, don't worry, there's nothing wrong with you, nothing like that. What I want you to do is I want you to look around. You guys are standing, just stay in that attitude. I want to look around to your brothers and sisters that are standing next to you. And I want you to go and just pray for them. There's anointing. All right, you are anointed to pray. Just go and surround people around you. Let's all start moving around. And let's just pray for our friends around us.